You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride! Blah!
Shake your left hand, gobble. Shake your right hand, gobble. Shake your tail now, gobble, 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 gobble. Shake your left foot, gobble. Shake your right foot, gobble. Shake your tail now, gobble, gobble, gobble.
So now, before we got on the air, Mike and I were sitting here. We're thinking, you know, are there any Thanksgiving songs aside from Adam Sandler's? He said, I don't know. Did he type in the turkey song or something like that? So I just went into YouTube, and I guess it's like this channel that's dedicated for children's songs and kids' songs and all that. They're smart. They made their own stupid songs. Gobble, gobble, turkey song, Thanksgiving song. It's got close to 1 million views. And it's talking about shaking your left hand and your right foot like turkeys and being gobble, gobble. And then talking about how they need to go inside. They got to get a turkey. So at first, you're telling the kids, okay, dance around like this animal. But it's really just a dance because you want to eat the animal. It's very, very weird when you think about the reality of this. You're telling the kids, okay, let's dance around. Let's become the things we want to eat. And then, listen.
Goes gobble, gobble, the turkey goes gobble, gobble, gobble. Can I have a beat? Can I move my feet? Can I have a turkey to eat? It's Thanksgiving. Let's go all in where we have a turkey to eat. There's pumpkin pie, there's stuffing, oh my, and the people that I love are near. Shake your left hand, gobble, shake your right hand, gobble.
Wait a second,
gobble,
no, look, they just tore his... Look.
Stuffing, oh my, and the...
This is the scene where they start murdering... Well, it's already done, it's been cooked, but look, now the kids are just, like, ripping the legs off and stuff. This is
people
amazing.
That I love are near.
Rip! Wings, everything getting torn off, kids eating the fucking carcass, and then all of a sudden,
shake your left hand.
There they are, alive again. We're all just eating and dancing, and we're all turkeys. Everything's fine. Nothing's wrong. There they are, kids.
And gobble, shake your
fucking son of a bitch. Why must we be consumed? Let's take a second. It's Black Friday. It's time to sing Day Man. Yes. Oh, it's a good time. It was a good time. It was a good Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you why. I want to take some calls from you guys as well at some point tonight. But I'm starting to get the thankful thing. And it's not because I have some kind of an abundance or anything like that, but just the way that what we commit ourselves to and the type of thinking that these conversations and our way of living and conducting ourselves, it leads you to are the real gems that are in everyday experiences, little tiny things, little tiny interactions. And really, trying to break spells, because we're under like multiple spells at every time. There are things that you don't notice for close to half a lifetime sometimes that was always in front of you, and you don't get until, I don't know, you have to take the journey. I was talking to Lauren about this the other night. We were on the back porch. It might have been last night. I'm not sure. And I was telling her how that's pretty much that was the worst thing about dating. Even though it's just one of those things I did, I didn't invest a lot into it. I found myself in relationships from time to time, but other than that, it wasn't something I needed a girlfriend. I never needed a girlfriend. But then all of a sudden things happen. But I really do appreciate and sympathize with people who do want to be in a relationship that's, wholesome and healthy and all that, and they're out there leaving themselves open and seeking it too. And when you go out to seek it and you're on a journey for it, and it's not a bad journey to be on per se, who am I to judge? But if you're out there seeking it, that's a shit game. Because what you're looking for is a lifetime bond somewhere, something to carry into the later stages of life. And it's not an instantaneous thing. You got to invest a lot of time into some people that just really aren't worth it. Some people that don't show you who they really are until months into it, years into it sometimes, where you just finally realize you're not compatible, or I've been deceived. There's a lot of shit that goes on with that. So that's just little things you become grateful for. I'm definitely grateful I don't have to ever be anywhere near that.
We're just like other people.
I will never ever.
We love to sing, we love to dance.
We'll never ever.
We admire beautiful women. We're human. And sometimes...
Done. I've got other things to do now. But I was looking at other things here with Thanksgiving, and of course, I didn't pay attention to Facebook. And hello, everybody in the chat room. Hello, what's going on, Mike Delabate? What's going on, Nikki? What's going on, Brad? Fem Jr. Goose Hostage? What is going on, Mr. Haas? Call in, by the way, Tony. If you get a chance, please call in. The Skype is ZenLive TV. I still have to change it. I actually started it, quite frankly, Skype the other day. I have to just get a handle of it. I don't know what the call-in is, because the first name was quite, the last name was frankly. So that might be it. Max Ancaparato's here as well. But, I was looking at all this stuff, and I didn't pay attention to Thanksgiving at all, really, on Facebook, because I wanted to be completely away from all the trash that I saw residuals of here and there. And that's of course people needing to be Debbie Downers for everything. They don't want anybody to celebrate anything because everything is terrible, everything is tainted and horrible. But when you think about it, and there's quite a few accounts of the first Thanksgiving, I believe in 1621 with the pilgrims. I think it was just the remaining, whoever was left of the passengers of the Mayflower, to be honest. Because obviously the going was tough. And for all of the problems that colonists and early Americans had with Native Americans, and for all the westward expansion that there was, and all the treaties and the alliances that were struck with certain tribes and combined war waged on others, and all the war and all the pillaging and the conquering that was done before Western Europeans even arrived here, doesn't matter. We're going to get around to why that really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Being observant of it matters. knowing where we came from is very, very important. It does matter because we evolve as people. You know, people left to their own devices evolve pretty quickly. Over the course of generations, look what we see here. But the real thing that kills me is because in this one sense, things like Thanksgiving, even if you want to be a pessimist or a negativist in the way that you interpret history from 1492 on, even if you want to take that route, you know, you can't really... It's sad that you would skip over something like a Thanksgiving, something like Christmas truce. I mean, you think about if you want to even look at Native Americans and the settlers that then became America. If you want to see all of that strife between the two groups and really harp on that, I mean, what a terrible thing to even have a respite from that at any time. You know, Thanksgiving, there was really nothing negative attached to Thanksgiving, and not where the root was. And I bring up the Christmas truce, the World War One. All along the Western Front, there were like Christmas Eve ceasefires. German, French, British soldiers came out, met with each other and talked with each other and shared cigarettes and played soccer with each other right there in no man's land. And then you go back to killing each other a couple days later. You know, this is just our story. So why anybody takes any of the good stuff that we can somewhat, you know, frame and show proof that there is always hope for even just random acts of kindness and togetherness. That really bothers me. That really bothers me that there's people out there that have to be so prickly about everything, and they fail to see that the good world they think they're fighting for exists already. There's just choices that need to be made. Choices right down to the way that you interpret history. You don't have to whitewash things. You don't have to wipe out all of the negative and all the downsides and all that. You don't have to whitewash anything. But there is a choice in how you let it, you know, because there's so much good in there. But, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. If it bleeds, it leads. And, that's all. Hey, it's like the scorpion and the frog. That's just pretty much it. Trying to make sense of any of this stuff is not our job, but it is our job, I think, to come to terms as quickly as we can as to what our nature is. Nature's not going anywhere. So. One other thing that came up for me over the weekend is when I was looking at this missive from John Kerry on November 20th. He said it was Transgender Day of Remembrance. On Transgender Day of Remembrance, the United States solemnly honors the memory of many transgender individuals who lost their lives to senseless acts of violence. Transgender persons around the world are targeted by rising levels of violence, just like the sea levels are rising as well, violently rising. Targeted by rising levels of violence fueled by hatred and bigotry. This is a global challenge, and we all must do more to protect transgendered persons on the basis of equality and dignity. In the United States, our Constitution enshrines freedom of peaceful assembly, speech, and association, and it affirms that everyone has equal protection under the law. Around the world, human rights and fundamental freedoms are recognized in Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Blah, blah, blah. We get it. So John Kerry, who all of a sudden is, you know, because, of course, when they speak now, they have to speak with the utmost knowledge and reverence of very biologically and scientifically sound issues. They are now the mouthpieces for absolute science and all that stuff. Remember that. They're not just, you know, mushy-faced characters who some people in the country call Uncle John or something like that. No, they're very, very reverent people here. Today we must, he says, every person includes transgender women, transgender men, and other individuals who face marginalization on the account of their gender expression or gender identity. This is coming from mashed potato-faced John Kerry. Thanks. I believe you 100%. Keep going. I believe you. Yeah, you look like a Halloween mask from Party City, but I believe you. Yes. Thank you for passing this along to me. What I want to bring up with this is just a couple of days ago, over here, we were talking about how, I mean, every conversation has its origin, but in one way or another, we got around to talking about how, pretty much in so many ways to say it, human beings, our species, we lack privacy. And the lack of privacy is a really big problem. You know, to see how privacy is a truly human need, we're witnessing why privacy is a human need. Even though people are in the habit, the habit of voluntarily giving away their privacy. So it's not like, oh, well, listen, if people didn't want to go on Facebook, then they don't have to go on Facebook. Yes, but that's what I'm saying. This is voluntarily. They're giving it away. They're assuming, you know, certain types of things, and they go on Facebook, and then they start getting, you know, what some people are on Facebook, and they take very measured steps as to how to use it. Maybe they share some pictures, maybe they only friend certain people, but more often than not, how many people have we seen in our personal lives that have been sucked into the habit of just dumping everything they've got onto the table for whoever will like it and see it? You know, these are just the traps that we fall into, and the types of behaviors we fall into. So whether it be involuntary, voluntary, whether it be known or unknown to the person, once the habit has been established, and now we're in that phase right now where people are so open to just opening everything up, and they have no concept of consequences for the actions or any of that stuff. But when they look at all this stuff, we can now sit back and see and say, this is what privatization needs. This is why privatization is so important. Because whether it be in some kind of an industry where you're talking about privatized industry, or the public sector where government has control of something, or it's regulated in some way, or where it's a free, completely free market where people can exchange goods and ideas and go into business together and set their own market price and let people, you know, boycott it because the price is too high, or pick it up because it's good, or never buy it again because the product is shit. That's all part of the idea of privacy, even in a marketplace. Privatize the market. Well, relationships are marketplaces as well. And not only just a one-to-one relationship, but relationships with your community and your friends and your networks and all that stuff. So now we're seeing what it really costs. What it really costs. No, but, you know, it's people get out there, they make proclamations. They just make proclamations over and over again. So we're looking at this, and just the day of the private, the keeping things private. When I look at things from John Kerry, going out there, things like this, because of course we know that the transgender issue is one that has only been championed because the gay altar is running out of, there's very little fruit left in that cornucopia. There's nothing left in that one. You know, once you've gotten everybody their rights somehow, and you need to stay relevant, then what are you going to do? You have to talk about preserving rights, and you have to go champion somebody else's cause. That's just what happened. Does that mean that there aren't people out there who are suffering from gender dysphoria and feeling like they're in the wrong body and they have all these emotional issues? No, that's not denying their existence. But John Kerry and people like him are parts of cabals that take your intimate details of your life. They take the most intimate details of your life, something that really, really touches home, strikes a deep nerve, and they magnify it and turn it into a national issue, and they turn it into a referendum. And they turn elections into referendums on you and your rights that somebody else is trying to take away. Think about the lives that were torn apart over marriage, when government, our Constitution, says nothing about marriage. And in fact, the only thing that our Constitution should be amended, and we should make sure that no government, no municipality, nothing has any kind of stake in marriage. This is the conversation that needs to be talked to with people. Because all they do also with this is they create different cycles, not only of thinking, but of action. Once they take up your cause and they start saying that transgender issues and all these other LGBT issues and all this shit, and they lump people together and they make their acronyms, all of those issues right there, right off the bat now, they open up conversations about what's hateful speech, what's discriminatory action, what can we do about fining, what can we do about banning, what can we do about jailing people, what can we do about this, this, and this to promote the equality of everybody. It always comes down to how can we enforce this equality. Well, you know, every amount of force has escalation if force is met with resistance. It always escalates. The most minor of encounters, most minor of things escalate. So not only are they creating an escalation, so what they're doing is they're creating ghosts and they're creating problems out of really minuscule things when you look at the greater population. I mean, how many transgender interactions do we have every day? How many interactions does the average person have with transgender people all over the place? They're a fraction of 1%, and that doesn't marginalize them. All it really does is bring a little reality to the fact that where's this rising tide? What are you talking about? There's a high suicide rate in the transgender community, especially post-op, when you realize that no matter how many times you go under surgery and what kind of makeup you wear and what clothes you wear and how you grow your hair and what you augment or lift or reduce or implant, you're not a man, you're not the woman. Now, nobody should ever tell you can't live the way that makes you most comfortable. Go ahead. But when you start imposing what people should think and how people should talk and the norms and the scientific, the scientific norms that we have all been raised on, once you start telling people to never mind that, don't say that, your business can be fined $250,000 in New York City if you don't call some person Jim or G or whatever the hell the pronouns are. This needs to be brought down to the level of the people who are affected by this and of the people who stand to gain from this for now. Because this level of legal precedent and infringing on First Amendment rights and all that stuff, it's benefiting you now, but it's not going to benefit you in the long run. This is what happens when you're so nearsighted, and you will sign on to anything that has the illusion of being able to benefit you now. And meanwhile, you're auctioning off the farm and all the future generations' freedoms because you were too afraid of being a stronger person now. And this really pisses me off, because John Kerry goes out there and just virtue signals and plants these seeds. And it sets up so much problem. And even the rising tide, that's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy that it puts in motion too. Because the more that you go out and you threaten people, the more that people's business interests are threatened, the more HR problems they're starting to have, PR problems they're starting to have, the more they feel cornered and the more that they feel like they have to leave a room before they say something that they're not supposed to, that is not freedom. That you're living in the shadows then. You're a free-thinking person that's now living in the shadows. And it goes against a person who thinks that they're on the right side of history, because they have shut themselves off from any other way of thinking as well, which means they're shut off now too. It's all done. Everybody's damaged. And when you're cornered like that, any animal will strike out, whether it be in the form of a protest, or whether it be in the form of some jackass taking it way too far and actually coming to some kind of physical encounter or some kind of intimidation. So they put all of these traps in place. They put all of these things in motion. And where do we end up? It all comes down to privacy. Privacy. What do I want to listen to? Oh, here's a good one. So, I don't know. Mike and Anthony are here. It's Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It's a good one otherwise. I had a really good time. I liked it, how small it was.
Yeah, it was good. It was like, I don't know, it was like last year to me.
You know, the other thing is, it's been so long since I've ever been around a big Thanksgiving. It's been so long.
Very long time.
Late 90s. Our family just could not survive the late 90s.
No.
Unfortunately. It just didn't happen. We didn't.
Actually, it was 1999. That was it. As soon as we didn't make it into the year 2000, it was a very abrupt end. A very abrupt end.
And then came 9/11.
Huh?
Then came 9/11.
Yeah, it was all just came. And we used to have big family holidays. And then it was just one year. Everything changed.
Pow, lights went out.
Exactly. Everything changed. It was just like, you know, for a kid.
What do you say, Mike?
So turkeys hate that.
Turkeys hate that.
For a kid, that does something to you.
Oh, it certainly does. Oh, I forgot my goddamn...
Your thank yous?
I forgot my thank yous.
Thank you, Starboy. Thank you, Uzi Vert.
Starboy.
Thank you, Starboy.
I'm a fucking Starboy.
Wait a second. I think I might have him.
Look what you got. I'm a fucking Starboy.
I send myself so many emails now. I send myself so many notes. Let me see here.
Can't wait for Friendsgiving tomorrow. Oh,
yeah. Friendsgiving, it'll be great. It'll be so great.
Get Frank Drebin tomorrow.
It's not over yet, everybody. Thanksgiving's not over yet. Don't be so depressed.
Don't be so depressed. Not over yet. Then you got Christmas.
I hate the holidays just because I don't like when they pass.
That's my problem. I like all the anticipation leading up to a holiday. Like, I love... that's the other reason why I love Thanksgiving, because when it passes, the sting isn't so great because it opens the door to the big finales. You have that. You have Christmas, and then, of course, you have the always lackluster New Year's Eve.
Yeah, New Year's Eve's all right.
It's been better. It's been last year was actually really great. We had a great group of people at the house, and we did the fire pit and all that.
I still long for a big fucking New Year's Eve. I'd really like to have a big New Year's Eve. I really would like to have like a party somewhere.
And drop our own ball?
Or not necessarily even that, but I'd just like to have like maybe music or something. I would love to have a nice big New Year's Eve. I just, you know, it's too late for that now. Probably just going to have a repeat of last year. Which wasn't bad.
But if we repeat last year, it was fucking great.
Fine, we'll fucking add like a boombox to the fucking mix. There's your music.
We had the bows. We had the bows going.
Yeah, man. I mean, you had the TV on. We had food.
Yeah.
Food makes everything fun. I don't give a fuck where I am. I could be in a fucking sewer eating a fucking sandwich. I'd still be happy.
Yeah, I'm in a sewer eating a sandwich. I don't want to be anywhere else.
This is the thing. Okay, this is the thing I love about the holidays, though. Is that it really is just like you just allow yourself to eat whatever the hell you want. It's great.
Let loose.
Whatever the hell you want.
Except for the health heads.
What's going on, Stacy? What's going on, Perry? What's going on, Marianne Hart? What's going on, Mike?
What's up, man?
We're good. And Ann Caparato's in there. Having a Friendsgiving on Sunday. Ann Caparato's here. iLock. What's going on, iLock?
It's going to be one hell of a time.
But everybody, please, you know what? In the meantime, check out Quite Frankly on Patreon. Patreon.com/QuiteFrankly. I really appreciate all of the support so far. You guys know if I'm not able to find my thank yous list here, I'm going to thank you guys doubly on Monday. And
actually, better yet, Frank's going to broadcast while he's eating Friendsgiving.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
This will be great. We'll just actually put the camera will start streaming, and we'll all just be sitting around the table. You can listen to all of us in perfect silence.
Oh, yeah.
Eating.
Absolutely.
Nobody saying a goddamn thing.
This will be a nice group of people.
We're going to have that table in the middle again?
Yeah, we should. It should definitely be proper.
Did we do it last year, or was it just the year before last?
I think we did it last year, too. Or the year before that.
I don't know.
No,
it was last year.
We did it last year too?
Okay, No. Last year we went buffet style up against the wall.
Okay.
I think it was.
We may not have done a Friendsgiving last year.
Yeah, we did.
Sure.
Yeah, that's when Jess made those yams with like the candied top the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
But we did it the year before last year. I remember that. That I remember. Like night and day.
Knock,
and
day.
Oh, Sam Fukuyama Sutra's in there. What's going on, Sam? And everybody, please check out the Current Year podcast. The Current Year podcast. They're on YouTube, on SoundCloud. They get lots of listens. I'm jealous of their listenership. But they've got all their European news and American news covered pretty well. I love being on their show too.
Pumpkin pie, apple pie, strawberry pie, green pie, crow pie.
That sweet potato pie from last night was awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't have a piece.
Oh, I had two. I had two.
There's nothing left to try. I'll try a little sliver.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No. It's no. Great. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I did tell. I told Kara last night. I said I figured out how she made it. I said, I know how you did it. And pretty much, and she goes, how? I said, well, you skinned the sweet potatoes, you boiled them, you mashed them, you put it in the pie crust, you preheated the oven 400 degrees, and you baked it for 30 minutes, and that's it.
Did you figure it out? Did she say yes?
She says, yeah, that's it.
Shit.
So I really want to do... You have no, like, I really wish, like, I would like to, I'd really like to do this. Like, actually film it step by step, really high quality video of, like one of those, like, quick videos, almost like those tasty videos. And actually film that process. Like, you know, sweet potato pie, make it look very serious. And you see, like, boil the potatoes, whatever, and mash them. Just put it in the mashed sweet potatoes and bake it. And then just, like, the end, it's like, and it's done.
Serve it to some people.
Done. And, like, you see it, like, being cut up, and it's just, like, it's done. That would go because it's a troll video, pretty much.
Dude,
it would blow up so much. Because it would just be so funny to see the comments, like, oh, yo, that's not how you do it. Ew. It would be just so funny to see the comments.
Well, let's do it. When do you want to film it? Let's do it.
I mean, I'll do that shit tomorrow.
Well, we're not gonna have enough kitchen space to do that tomorrow.
I know.
But let's do it.
You can do it next week.
And I also thought that that old idea that we had, I think it's a great series, even if it's a short series, but I think it really doesn't get old. Well, it can get old. Everything gets old, I guess, at some point. But if we were just to be given names of dishes to make from all different types of cuisine, all over the world, we should be given the names of the food, and based on what it sounds like, what we feel it is, we should just concoct something, what we think it is, see how close we get to it.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I think that's a really good idea. Just put it out. You don't even have to name it anything. Like, I just want to see. It's like that inner, like, troll in me. I just like to see people's reactions. I just want to see that a video of something like that, like a sweet potato pie video that is clearly the wrong way to do it, and it's just so bad, just put out there professionally. And just see how people react.
Yeah. And we can even have some of the taste testers. We should tell some of them.
No, you won't need trade. The video would be 30 seconds to a minute long, and it would just show. You've seen tasty videos, right?
Yes.
No taste testers, nothing in there.
Okay.
Just say, this is the process. That's it. You'd probably, some people would be stupid enough to believe it. Like, oh, this is great. You would probably trick some people in actually making the sweet potato pie that way because they think it's so easy.
Somebody would accuse us of fake news. This is fake news.
That'd be great.
Fake and tasty.
Apple pie.
Stacy says,
You chop up apples, you get the pie crust, you put it in there. No. What else is
like? Key lime pie. Can you imagine putting car keys and limes in there?
Oh, that was the other thing I told her last night. I said, oh, wait. I said, wait a minute. I know you have to put an egg in there. You have to put eggs in there. And she goes, one egg. I said, but what would happen? I said, what about if I fried three eggs over easy and mixed it up with the mashed sweet potato pie and baked it?
That's probably the key ingredient. That's probably it. Stacy and Frank, you watching the pipeline and that Trump owns mostly all of it? I don't know. I haven't been watching anything. In fact, yesterday I stayed as far away from the news as I could. Today I read through everything. But the pipeline thing, we brought Bill on, Liberty Bill on, about 2 weeks ago now, to hear from him of what the hell's been going on and what he's found and consistencies and inconsistencies with the Dakota Access situation. And that was the last I heard of it. Since then, I know that crowds have been dispersed with water cannons and all that type of stuff. I know that whatever's going on out there is escalating, but I don't know.
I don't even know what that is. I've seen it.
I can't. It's all oil pipelines and disputing lands that the pipeline is running through. People say it's going through reservation. Other people, it isn't. Max says private property rights would fix everything. If anybody has, like, a really a good link that sums everything up, that is, you know, is a little bit as objective as you can get it. Because I really have no bearing on this. We can all read it together if you wanted to. Just put it in the chat room. Mysterious case of Jill Stein surging recount costs. Now, the first thing I want to say is, what do we know about Jill Stein anymore now? Who is she? Who is this woman? The same one where just 2 to 3 weeks ago she's talking about how Donald Trump is the safer choice of the two, even though she wouldn't want to wake up in an America where either of them are president. And now she's out there raising millions of dollars, and it seems like the ante keeps getting raised every time she's raising money here. Mysterious case of Jill Stein's surging recount costs. This is from Zero Hedge. Just yesterday, we noted that Jill Stein was acting on behalf of Hillary Clinton to raise money for recounts in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. As we noted then, we continue to be astonished by the amount of money flowing into the fundraising campaign and would love to see which of Hillary's immediate mega donors have spent the most on the effort. Somehow, we suspect this isn't just a, quote, grassroots organizing effort, as Stein described it. So in less than one day, Jill Stein raised over $3 million, which is more than the $2 million needed to force a recount in Wisconsin. While she attributed the accomplishment to, quote, the power of a grassroots organizing, we would tend to be a little bit more skeptical and would love to see exactly where those donations came from. Then again, maybe we're wrong and we really are just that many disaffected snowflakes out there. Who are willing to blow their money on an extremely long shot. But today, a new mystery has emerged in Stein's fundraising effort. Apparently, the more money she raises, the more expensive the recount effort becomes. Courtesy of the Wayback Machine, we have the following snapshots from her fundraising page over the last couple of days. November 24th, 2016, 3:46 a.m., in the beginning, Stein figured she'd needed a total of $2.5 million to fund her recount efforts.
That's what I remembered seeing.
Yeah, that figure included $2.2 million for the actual filing fees and presumably another $0.3 million for legal fees and other costs. Okay, and here's the screenshot. All right, so now you have attorney fees, likely another $1 million. Okay. Now, November 24th, 2016, at 1:20 p.m., just 12 hours later, after the cash just kept flowing in, Stein figured she needed at least another $2 million as her fundraising goal was raised to $4.5 million in total. Of course, the filing fees of the $2.2 million didn't change, but the attorney fees apparently surged by about 300%, and the total cost of the effort skyrocketed to $627 million. I'm sorry. Here are the filing fees for that now. Boom.
What the hell is it, you know?
Where's it going? Who knows? And then on the 25th, at 6:11 a.m., now, just this morning, yesterday morning, as Stein approaches $5 million in total donations, her overall fundraising goal has surged once again and now stands at $7 million. The attorney fees are now likely to be another $2 to $3 million. So total cost, there you go. So with nearly $5 million raised so far, the question is no longer whether recounts will occur in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, but just how much Jill Stein will be able to drain from the pockets of disaffected Hillary supporters to fund her long-shot efforts. All that said, here's Jill Stein admitting to CNN that she has absolutely no evidence of election hacking, even though she asked that you please keep sending your money anyway. What is happening right now, I don't know, but watch this.
Do you think?
And remember her from 2 weeks ago. Just remember from 2 weeks ago.
We don't know, and I think the forensic computer experts have raised serious questions. What we do know is that this was a hack-riddled election. We saw hacks into voter databases, into...
Jill, this was an election that you helped document was completely unfair on the left side of things from the beginning, as far as the DNC goes. She's admitted to what was taken from Bernie Sanders. She's admitted she has been all over this. Plus, she gave Donald Trump the nod of being the lesser of the two poisons. And now she's coming out here and talking about how this has been a hack-riddled election. Hack-riddled election. The side that we thought was destined to win because they were always the ones behind the hacking and the manipulation in both the media and at the polls. The polls, the voting polls, and the polls on the television. They control the flow of information, everything. And they control the votes with their superdelegates. I just don't know who she is. You just don't know who anybody is anymore. I'm telling you. Nobody is to be trusted. Nobody is to be trusted. So, Tony Bennett. Here's Tony Bennett being saved by Miss Piggy. Now, we were talking about this yesterday.
Is this a better clip?
This is a better clip. It's only 25 seconds. But you hear his final belting it. He's 90 years old, right, Aunt? 90 or is he 85? I know he's at least 85.
I have no idea.
Well, he's 90 years oldish, and he's the only one. If you watch these, I don't watch the Thanksgiving Day parade anymore. But the one thing I can tell you is that for years now, none of the mics have been live. Okay, it's all pre-recorded Super Bowl type of shit. You don't believe that any of these performances are live. It's all bullshit. It doesn't seem authentic. It's nothing. Tony Bennett might have been the first performer to have a live mic at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade just because he's so goddamn old school, probably. And you know what? It was a cold affair, and he's 90, and he comes out belting it like this at the end. Hold on a second. This is the end of it. Santa Claus is coming to town. Together. Santa Claus is coming to town. And now he falls. Look. They take off. He falls and Miss Piggy grabs him.
Oh, man.
So.
You know, I mean, for a rock scream, it wasn't bad. Like, tit down! Like, it kind of sounded... It sounded on pitch. Listen.
Come on now. Yeah,
It
just didn't sound like a crooner.
Yeah.
That's all. But you know what? I really enjoy watching him working in his old age. I enjoy watching him work at a high level. It's an inspiration. And but I just don't understand, A, why he was put – maybe he just wanted to do it.
That's yeah.
In that case, then whatever.
I would imagine that's got to be it. Maybe that has to be. I can't imagine it being a situation where they said, okay, you have to.
This is a great opportunity, Tom.
All right, Tony, your mic is going to be live. No, I want to be lip synced. No, your mic's going to be live. It had to have been the other way around. You're going to be lip synced. No, I want to be live. That's what I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah. And then of course, Miss Piggy. Every time I saw Miss Piggy, it's like it's the Amy Schumer resemblance is so striking.
Oh yeah,
so striking. She is Miss Piggy. That's just it. She's got the ugliest cheeks too. I like round, cute chipmunk cheeks on girls sometimes. Lauren had them, but she doesn't have that. No, she fucking Amy Schumer looks like she has two apples. Inside of her, she's hiding two apples. There's just something, and it falls forward, and I can't stand her. Can't stand the way she carries herself. Fuck her. All right, so let's see here. Let's put on some other music. It's 7:45. We're doing a nice hour. You might be wondering, hey Frank, I thought you were supposed to be. I thought you were supposed to be on Facebook tonight. Well, it's Black Friday, and people are traveling, and we just figured we'll just come out hitting stronger next week. And this is just something I'm a lot more in control of anyhow. Facebook, I don't trust. I just started getting to trust YouTube a little bit. But that be that. What's going on in the chat room? Fem Jr. says, don't insult Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy is an icon. Yes, she is. She's an abusive feminist icon. Yeah, she is Chuck Schumer's niece. So, not only so, it's like, that's how you can say that, how's Count Dracula and Miss Piggy related? How can you draw, you know, 6 degrees of separation? Count Dracula and Miss Piggy. Actually, that's less than 6 degrees. Amy Schumer is Chuck Schumer's niece.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, no, that's real.
Who's Chuck Schumer?
Our senator of New York, who's about to become the Senate Minority Leader. He's a, I don't know.
He's Count Dracula?
He's Count Dracula.
He really does resemble him?
He's Count Dracula. John McCain is the Phantom of the Opera. So, yeah. There's a whole bunch. Yeah, all the classic Universal Studios monsters are in Congress or Senate.
Who's Donald Trump?
Donald Trump. I don't know, but there's one mask. There's one mask that's worn in Eyes Wide Shut, since Eyes Wide Shut is on the brain over here lately. There's one mask that's worn inside of that like ceremony room that always reminded me of Donald Trump screaming.
Huh?
You want to see it?
Yeah, I'm curious.
I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
It's striking. Hold on. Eyes Wide Shut.
Maybe.
Oh, it is.
Eyes Wide Shut. What the hell?
Exactly what he was doing.
Ritual scene.
Stephen King knew exactly what he was doing when he wrote
that movie. No, this is when he's outed. Found out.
Eyes Wide Shut predicted Trump's presidency.
Eyes Wide Shut. Okay, here we go.
Scott Pacino.
It's... We were sharing love.
I can't wait to watch this again.
Do you still have a chance to turn back around, Tom? And here goes the introduction, the piano
no
line.
As soon as he was blood there, I mean, what chance do you have?
Here we go. Ready? There he is. Hold on. Stop. That one's always good.
I can't see it clearly. Oh.
When he screams, you know that big one, they got a couple of freeze frames of him screaming.
Okay, yeah.
Hold on, maybe there's another one I'm not thinking of. But I'm pretty sure that's, yeah, it looks like him to me. The mouth, the shape of the mouth.
Let's do a side by side.
We should do a side by side. Somebody do a side by side. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good night. Who's behind those masks? Those sons of bitches.
Great movie, though.
Great orgy, too. Great movie, great orgy. But very, very weird.
Has Donald Trump ever released his tax returns?
No. He said he will when he can. I don't really even give a shit. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I never really got that. I never got the whole thing.
You want to talk about people say, oh, they're all corrupt. I'm like, you know what? After the election we just had with the choices that we had to make, I mean, not that we were forced to, but the choices that were there to be made. I mean, that was such a nothing issue. in a sane world, maybe that's a little bit of cause for concern. Why isn't he being, why isn't he so, you know, being forthcoming? Forthcoming. Look at the people. Look at the personalities that we were breaking down over the last year. Donald Trump. That's why I laughed at the tax returns. Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I, you know, that's the other thing, too. Like, I'm pretty sure that there are definitely people out there that out there who really, really like him, that really want him to be the president, probably want him to be president more than anybody. I'm sure, I mean, in a country of 5 billion people, I'm kidding. I just, no. But in a country of however many people are...
Wait, how many people live in New York City again?
How many people live in 300 million people live in New York City? Yeah. I asked that question, seriously. No, but I'm sure like there are people who want him, but if most people had a choice, nobody wants to be in this situation.
No!
Nobody wants to fucking choose Donald Trump as president. Nobody wants to choose Hillary. Like, nobody really wants what the cards that we've been given.
Listen, the only reason why Donald Trump had a chance was because it was Hillary Clinton. We all knew Hillary Clinton was going to be the standard bearer for the Democrat Party. The only reason why Donald Trump had a chance is because he knew this was a time that he wouldn't be able. There would have been no other time. A Clinton presidency would have been a disaster. Although she would not have had a Congress, they would have lost Congress, and they would have lost much more of the state legislatures and the governorships and all that stuff. But they needed that presidency to keep their shit in order, because the Supreme Court, that's all this was. But to him, it was the Supreme Court put him over anybody else. Nobody's going to be able to, hopefully people are able to digest that, come to terms with that one day. I'd love to be able to help some people come to terms with that. That there's another way of looking at this that's not disastrous. Because when you follow the trail of breadcrumbs back to the reason why this is not disastrous is because any step that we can go toward liberty and the individual being restored to power instead of the collective is going to be good for all of those members, the happy members of the collective who thinks it actually helps the individual. That's the problem. If there's a way that we can walk people back and like demanufacture the situation we're in, to show people that, yes, there are people that are, I mean, there are Trump supporters out there who just want to get your goat and want to antagonize you and all that, and they are the ones that you're going to say, I hate them all. You know, the same reason why I believed at one point I hated all Red Sox fans. Until I started making friends with a lot of them. That's just what it is. If you're able to walk back through all of the shit that is on the top layer of this and see that it all comes back to something a little bit more pure, you know, the Red Sox fan, if you walk them back a little bit, ultimately, most of them are baseball fans. They like good stories. They like baseball history. They like how their team's history enriches their hometown. You know, it was part of culture. It was how our culture was really just miles deep. It had so many different layers to it. So if we can just be able to start walking people back to see where they can understand that conservative notions, as they are, as it pertains to not being a part of this big federal regulating machine, and is detached from the stereotypes of homophobia and of phobia and phobias of other phobias and this and that and all this other shit. If you can walk people back from those stupid fucking, New York Daily News headlines, the realities they're trying to create through headlines. I mean, then there's a chance here. There's a chance here. But we have to be willing to be stronger people again. I mean, I don't know if we're gonna have a real easy time getting through the safe spacers. What we need to do is make sure that they are pushed back into the basements of America, and that the moderates stand up and are able to have a conversation again. Put the kids back on the kiddie table and do not respond to them until they learn how to say, excuse me, daddy. That's what I think we all need to do. Democrat voters, Republican voters, libertarians, anarcho-capitalists, anybody who has any kind of a sane head on their shoulders but votes in different ways. Let's start having conversations again. And let's put the kids back at the kiddie table. So that's the first thing that needs to be done. And Caparato pointed out something that Fem Jr. says in the chat room, which is a great point. As far as the IRS and turning over the taxes, please, this is what Fem Jr. in the chat room says, please, like Obama's IRS wouldn't have turned him upside down if he did anything shady. And Max pointed right up to it, said, there's a good point right there. Fantastic point. Fantastic point. Remember, this is an IRS that dressed down Ben Carson after that national prayer breakfast, where Ben Carson pretty much repudiated in the most polite way possible what President Obama had sold the country as far as an approach to national health care. Oh, Stephanie Evil is Fem Jr. Check out Stephanie's great new article on Gaslight.tv. It's a Thanksgiving theme article. Just put it out yesterday, I believe. But in either case, it was the freshest one there. So check that out. I have to think of something to put up there again. I was trying to get some ideas. I was thinking maybe I'd take some of the monologues of this show and just transcribe them a little bit and put them out as articles. And then I can just embed the highlight. So why not? But that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. And another reason why, we need more Patreon patriots to check out, quite frankly, on Patreon. So that stuff can happen on a little bit bigger level. What the hell are we just talking about? Oh, that's right, the IRS. Ben Carson got a dressing down after that prayer breakfast. Dinesh D'Souza was thrown in jail. I remember understanding all the way that he was thrown in jail for campaign contributions. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. I understood it at one point. We'll go back and check that out. This is, and of course, look at the DOJ. The DOJ is part of the executive branch. And it's been obstructing justice on behalf of the president and on behalf of the Clintons for months now. But I'll tell you something. I want to bring this up because this is going to be done on this show very, very soon. We're going to get into Pizzagate. And not only that, we're going to get into other types of storylines where this comes. Yeah. Well, I was talking about it with Rob Corrado. And there's a few things that we are going to break down on the air, including this one chick. I think her name is Kathy O'Brien. Transformation. Ah, there you go. Transformation of America. Kathy O'Brien. So from now until we go and talk about this on the air, I want everybody to look into this woman named Kathy O'Brien. Here's the transformation of America. Now, this is going to be written off as conspiracy theory by some, but read it, because I'm getting into this a little bit more, and she's given talks before, so I think there's footage of her on YouTube about more of the vampiric circles of child sex rings, trades, mutilation, offerings. Really, really, really sick stuff. Cult type of stuff that our elite are engaged in and have been engaged in for a long time. It goes all the way back, I mean, to just Vatican issues. I think that's even in the mix there. So this is one woman that claims she was pretty much passed around by everybody from Gerald Ford to the Clintons. And I don't know, but there's going to be a lot of cool, really odd stuff that we're going to be talking about on this show. Odd. Like, it makes me a little uncomfortable to talk about it. But it's all out there. It's all already out there. And I want to get Rob on, and definitely David Seaman's going to be coming on to talk about what he has been on a rampage. Check him out on Twitter in the meantime if you want somebody to follow before we get him on the show. David Seaman. DSEAMAN. Every time I say Seaman over here, everybody starts. It's just like fucking third grade. Follow me on Twitter. I'm a Seaman Shooter.
David Seaman Shooter McGavin.
Seaman.
That's a great Twitter name.
Seaman Shooter McGavin. If there's enough. That is a great internet personality. I don't know if that's enough. There may not be enough characters. Twitter may not allow that many characters, but Seaman Shooter McGavin.
You gotta go look it up now.
Hold on.
Before someone on your Twitter show is listening right now tries to deal with themselves.
On Twitter? Let me see.
Everybody in the chat room does it. I'll kill everybody.
I'm gonna kill everybody, I swear to God. Hold on, I'm logging out. New to Twitter? Sign up. Oh, shit. I'm going to need a new email just to check it out. Oh, Twitter name availability.
Carpetbagger36.
Check. Oh, wow. You can go to namechecker.com. N-A-M-E. C-H-E-C-K-R. No E-R. C-K checker without the E at the end. .com. Namechecker.com. And you can enter in your brand name. It'll check across all the social media domains to see what kind of consistency you'd be able to get. Wow. Let me say Seaman. See, but Seaman being in the name would probably violate terms of service. Multiple places.
No, but C man, like yeah. S-E-A-M-A-N.
Yeah.
S-E-A. Okay. Seaman Shooter Mick Gavin. Yo. Hold on. Why isn't it available on Twitter? It was available on everything. I don't know. This is a great website.
Keep it. Save it.
Hold on. Let me change it to actual Seaman. Seaman Shooter McGavin. There's probably going to be a lot of people saying that you can't do that, dude. Seaman Shooter McGavin is available on everything except Twitter, Tumblr, Google Plus, Facebook. SeamanShooterMcGavin.com is available. SeamanShooter.net.org.
You should get it and just call the network that.
MySpace, Instagram, YouTube. Yo, what do you guys grab them?
grab it. So that's definitely going to be grabbed in the next week.
Yeah. On Twitter, if you do a search for Twitter for somebody, it's my right?
Twitter? I bet you anybody Twitter, it bounced back because it was the length. Yeah, probably. Twitter's, it's not, they can't take the length. They only take the girth. It takes the chode names. Yeah, man. Okay, so let's get on to something else real quick. It's 8:05. I just wanted to do something real. Kathy O'Brien, good talk about that later. Mysterious Case of Jill Stein, we did that. Tony Bennett, Saved by Miss Piggy, we did that. Naked Exercise just isn't for exhibitionists. It's a growing fitness trend. Yeah. Well, everybody likes to take their clothes off by any means possible now. An epic blunder. CNN accidentally broadcasts 30 minutes of hardcore porn. 30 minutes? Did anybody see that? Mike, you're not getting picked up by the microphone.
How do you accidentally put that on TV?
I don't know, but this is amazing. Did anybody witness this? If anybody who listens to this on the podcast, if you were from any of the networks or any of the regions that got this...
Everybody who's working
this
night
chick,
shift.
That chick looks pretty hot.
Got fired. Everybody got fired on that shift. They're
done. Yo, she's pretty cute right there. She's got the glasses on. She has.
Can I search the Frank? Try to search the video. Watch porno.
Really?
Yeah. The video name is right there. This is right on the screen.
It's called Anthony Bourdain Parts Unknown. It's only human to make mistakes.
Oh, no, Anthony Bourdain Parts Unknown. That's freaking. It's like a travel thing, isn't it?
It's only human to make mistakes. Like meaning to sex the bae. Oh, I hate when people say that. Like meaning to sex a boyfriend or girlfriend something nasty, but accidentally sending it to your mother. Or getting way too drunk at your office Christmas party and making a huge ass out of yourself. But some blunders are way worse than others. And someone over at CNN is probably about to get fired. get fired for theirs. Last night at 11 p.m., viewers tuned in to CNN to watch CNN to watch a brand new episode of Anthony Bourdain's Parts Unknown. But it wasn't Anthony Bourdain who was on screen. Oh no! Instead, it was people were blessed with 30 minutes of big dicks, sloppy blowjobs, and bleached assholes.
Oh my God!
Yes. CNN accidentally broadcast half an hour of porn. Nobody was able to stop it immediately?
How?
Was there nobody?
They had to be hacked. They had been hacked.
But what? Somebody like Mike May wasn't sitting there making sure that everything was going. You know how Mike May at Fuse? He was just like feeding. There's people there at control boards and shit like that.
Probably
30 minutes. CNN broadcast an hour for graphic, hardcore porn that you only find in the bowels of Pornhub. Bowels? No, it's just right there on the top of Pornhub. When PornMD, that will search across many, many various porn outposts. Luckily, the slip-up only...
Wait a minute.
What?
New York Post article says CNN accidentally airs transsexual porn on Thanksgiving.
It was tranny porn?
Yeah.
Well, Maxim didn't say anything about transsexual.
I don't think they said transsexual, but they said big dongs and bleached assholes.
Luckily, the slip-up only affected people in Boston, as CNN broadcasting in the area is provided by local TV provider RCN. Even so, whoever manages to press the wrong button and send a video signal for porn instead of Anthony Bourdain must feel like a real asshat right now. Hopefully that person didn't get yelled at too much in the morning, but hey, at least they're not the first employee in history to make a porn-related blunder to public. Last year, a Target in California blasted porn through the intercom, so obviously this kind of shit happens. How? I don't know, but it happens. Here, let's watch this from from Target.
They blasted it in Target.
No. Oh, but that's Tony Bennett. Here we go.
What is going on at Target right now?
Oh. It's like Fight Club. Oh boy!
Wow.
Wow.
Crazy shit.
The world is an exciting place.
The world is a vampire. Rinky dinky doo.
Do 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 do. Secret destroyers. Do 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 do. Oh no no. Rinky dinky dee. Oh, another night is coming to an end. The kids are crying and everything. Dude, it's all, I was thinking about Hook, too. The children are screaming! The children are screaming!
He really did lose his marbles.
It really is like Fight Club. It's like you just see the flashes of the dick. Oh. This was a good show. We got a lot of good stuff out of the way. Let me see. What else do we have? DNC. We'll leave that for later. Epic Blunder. We did that. Lock, Stock, and History. We'll do that later. Report 99.8% of illegal drugs are shipped in from Mexico. Or at least over the border. Facebook builds censorship tool to try to attain China re-entry. We got to watch this very, very closely. But this one, we did Transgender Day of Remembrance and why I thought that it was dangerous. Saudi women sentenced to 20 lashes for swearing on WhatsApp. So there you go. And the wonderful land of human rights that is Saudi Arabia, who sits on the board, the UN Human Rights Council. That's good. These are people that were funding ISIS along with Qatar. Central Americans, North Surge, hoping to reach the U.S. before Trump inauguration. It doesn't matter. No federal welfare. No federal welfare. That's it. That's it. No federal subsidies. Just yank that. It doesn't matter who rushes up, everybody. They're only coming here for one reason. And that's because the American economy, which is taking on water to such degrees, still has currency that is somewhat stable. And their countries are shit out of luck. Where they can't even afford the paper to print their money on. It's not even worth the paper it's printed on, I should say. So it doesn't matter. It just really doesn't matter. We'll see. It's the best filtration unit there, too. You cut off the welfare, and it's the best filtration unit. You see exactly who wants to stay and be an American and have the government stay out of their lives. That's how you see. And then, of course, the states can do whatever they want. If California wants to take on as many people as it takes to break the whole thing off and float off into the Pacific Ocean because the weight of the state alone, then it's up to California. It's up to California. People need a place to retreat to. So I'm going to save Facebook for Monday as well. And here's something that really made me laugh. We're going to end with this. I know I don't want to gloat. It's not about the gloating. It's just that I love this man's laugh. And it is kind of fun to me. Let's be honest. I'm being honest. This is the black Trump supporter. He wanted to put out an apology to liberals who lost the election the next day. And I just... this is funny to me. So everybody, enjoy your night. I'll see you all soon. I'm sorry I wasn't able to give any of the updates or any of the thank yous. I'm going to do that double time on Monday for this, for leaving all the names at home. Sorry, you guys, but I don't have all 23 of you memorized yet. I would definitely leave somebody out, so I'm not going to start. You know what I mean? Other than that, sign up for, and subscribe to the iTunes, subscribe to the SoundCloud, leave some reviews, leave some stars. Check out us on YouTube, Facebook fan page, all that. And it's going to be a good week next week. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. This guy, he made it a lot better for me. All right, everybody. Good night.
Give my remarks to all of the Trump haters, all of the Hillary Clinton supporters, all of the people that said that my Trump was going to lose. So I say to you this morning, the day after the election, Angelina.